Whenever I eat out, I always wonder, what's happening behind those swinging doors, don't you? Chef Anthony Bourdain dishes the dirt in his book called Kitchen Confidential. It's the book that launched his career as a celebrity chef. Bourdain's published numerous books since then, but he still remembers the good old days. He told Steve Paulson what it's like to be an executive chef in a restaurant kitchen.
It's the child's dream of running one's own pirate crew. On the bad side, you're trapped inside a small, hot, airless space with the same sort of criminally inclined characters for extended periods, or in fact, for most of your waking hours. On the other hand, you get to be a leader, to rule over piratical underlings with a very countercultural lifestyle. I get a lot of satisfaction out of that, that people whose lives are essentially completely dysfunctional and unlovely outside of the restaurant, that they show up to work every day and do great conscientious work for me is a source of a lot of satisfaction in my life. And, to be a despot for 10, 12 hours a day is fun as well. I am absolute ruler in my domain. That feels kind of good.
Now, your start in the restaurant business was actually quite humble. Did you begin as a dishwasher?
As a really lowly dishwasher and prep drone, I'd wash dishes, pots, get sent down to the cellar for hours at a time to just peel potatoes, wash spinach, pick parsley, tear the little beards off mussels, fetch the chef a drink, mop his brow, that sort of thing. All-purpose flunky and dog's body.
Is that what you would recommend for someone getting into the business, that you should start at the bottom?
Absolutely. As a chef, I would hire an ex-dishwasher over a culinary school graduate any day. It's a character issue. If you work your way up from the bottom, chances are you're going to be a lower maintenance employee from a chef's point of view, and that you know what it's like to have come up through the chain of command. And you also tend to, having worked as a dishwasher, you've learned everything about the restaurant and the preparation of the food from the ground up. I'm just very partial to ex-dishwashers. I find that they make better cooks, that they have better character. They're less likely to consider themselves sensitive artists and require, ego stroking, patting on the head, kissing of boo-boos and that sort of thing.
Don't you want artists in the kitchen? Isn't that what it takes to make great food?
No. I want someone, really good cooking, in my view, is about turning in a consistent performance, every day, day in, day out, never calling in sick, never showing up late, never giving the chef attitude, never offering helpful suggestions, particularly when you're in the lower echelons of a kitchen. You're not really allowed to have a personality or an opinion. That's detrimental to the smooth operations of the restaurant.
This sounds like the military you're describing.
They call it a brigade for a very good reason. Escoffier's, system for managing a kitchen was called the brigade system, and it is a very rigid military-type hierarchy. I think it's one of the reasons that so many people like myself, who are basically disorganized and lazy and chaotic outside of work, feel so at home in the restaurant business, because it's the only order and structure we have.
I'm curious about some of the different jobs in the restaurant. A line cook, for instance. What makes a good line cook, and what exactly do they do?
A line cook is the guy who actually physically cooks your food, who shows up, sets up his station, gets ready for service, and when service begins, you order a sautéed breast of chicken with wild rice pilaf. He's the guy who physically sautés the chicken, puts it in the pan, sauces it, plates it, and sends it out.
You tell a hilarious story when you were just coming up, and I think you burned your hand, and you asked someone to help you out with a Band-Aid. What happened there?
Oh, God. Well, I thought I knew a few things in the restaurant business. I'd come up from my lowly dishwasher position and cooked a little bit at one restaurant. And the next year, that same restaurant had been bought by a better and more successful restaurant operation. We were all allowed, those of us who'd worked the year previous, were allowed to audition for our jobs. So I auditioned with a veteran crew at a sister restaurant, and I walked in there just so full of myself, talking about all the steaks I'd cooked the year before, how good I was, how much fun we had in the kitchen, what, tough guys we all were. And this crew were really good. I mean, they were used to doing serious volume. And I worked a broiler station with a guy named James, who was just so much better than me. And they just endured my nonsense and my self-aggrandizement and my bragging for hours until finally, in the middle of the rush, when I was totally lost and completely over my head and just screwing up everything left and right, I burned myself and asked him, for a Band-Aid. And he turned to me, and I don't know, just was one of those dramatic moments. The whole kitchen went silent. James held up his hands in front of me and said, "Hey, the kid wants a Band-Aid," and showed me his hands, which is the most hideous, water-filled, blistered, scarred horrors. They look like giant lobster claws. At which point he reaches over under the grill, grabs a hot sizzle platter right out from under the flame with a bare hand and puts it down on the counter in front of me without his eyes moving from mine. And I felt like such a subatomic particle after that. I just
and everyone in the kitchen was, I'm sure, looking at this and getting a good laugh.
It was utter humility. They were hooting and hollering, and they had a real good time at my expense. And, of course, I richly deserved it. But, you know, I think out of sheer spite, I decided at that point, I'm going to go to the Culinary Institute. I'll be back. I'll show you guys. You know, I'll be a chef someday, and, you know, I'll be as tough as you. I'll have hands like that. You know, well, I got my wish. You know, my hands do look like that now.
One of the points you make in your writing is that eating good food is about risk. And as you say, the body isn't a temple. It's an amusement park, which I've never thought about before.
I absolutely believe that. You know, I cheerfully shorten my life a couple of years, you know, for the continued enjoyment of good food. I don't even see that as a difficult choice. You know, to live life without stock and foie gras and pork fat and stuff like that would just be unthinkable to me.
Well, you also have some interesting advice for restaurant goers, which I've never heard before. For instance, never order fish on a Monday. And if there's an item with the word special in it, avoid it.
Well, Sunday, Monday specials, chances are, or it is more likely, let's put it this way, that the fish in particular is stuff that's left over. It was delivered Friday. Fish markets closed on Saturday. Some fish purveyors are open, but the stuff they're sending you on Saturdays, they bought themselves on the Thursday night market and was delivered to them on Friday morning. So the possibility on a Monday, particularly getting a special, you know, if you see the word special, fish special on Monday, chances are it's something he's looking to unload from the weekend. And so I would just order fish on Tuesday when you know it's fresh and when you've got the goodwill of the kitchen on your side and everybody's leading with their best shot. And, you know, my views on brunch in general, I take a very dim view of the whole concept of brunch. But, you know, you see seafood salad vinaigrette as a brunch special, I'd advise you pass.
What's wrong with brunches? I love to go out for brunch.
Well, we love it. Financially, it makes tremendous sense for us because chefs get to charge, you know, $12.95 for two eggs and a little tomato juice. You know, what's not to like? It's great for our food costs. We just look down on it. You know, we see it as rube food, as all showbiz. Most chefs I've met don't like cooking eggs. It makes you feel like Mel at Mel's Diner. You know, no matter what you do with an egg, it's still an egg.
What about some other do's and don'ts for people who eat out a lot? What mm-hmm. are some common mistakes?
Well, anything well done is always a mistake. You know, you if it's a kitchen that takes pride in their work, at the very best, the chef is going to feel a terrible sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach that you know, his beautiful food is being destroyed. At the worst, they're going to find you the nastiest, ugliest cut in the kitchen and give you that because they figure you won't be able to tell the difference. And even if you can tell the difference, you know, you're not our kind of people anyway, and we really don't want you to come back.
So they figure if anyone who's going to order a well-done steak doesn't really like food to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, that's my assumption anyway. I mean, that's how I feel in my heart and soul, you know, whether I do anything about it. Well, fortunately, I work at a restaurant where I can't even remember the last well-done steak we served. It's all bloody red meat. So I don't have the problem so much anymore. But, it just kills me. If I send out a tuna special and they want it well done, it hurts.
Anthony Bourdain is executive chef at Brasserie Les Halles. He talked with Steve Paulson about his first book, Kitchen Confidential, Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly.